In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about, and some you haven't.
How'd you do that?
I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is poured by Pelican Brewing. Soak in the sunshine with the return of Pelican's seasonal beer, Pelicano. Available in clear glass bottles for refreshment you can see.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday, brought to you as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. The return of warmer weather, Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. Easily the biggest sporting event of the weekend is what's going down at Madison Square Garden tomorrow. The Knicks got a 2-0 series lead against the Boston Celtics, just like we all predicted. They'd erased a couple of 20-point deficits and have a lead in the series. Now they got a chance to take a stranglehold on it with a 3-0 series lead at home. Joining us now to talk about that and the seed in New York is Andrew Claudio, at Andrew J. Claudio on Twitter. Underscore at the end of that, my apologies. And he is a part of the Knick Film School. Andrew, good morning to you. Can you just, like, I think I've seen online this is the most expensive Knicks ticket of all time. What are we talking in terms of the anticipation and excitement for this game tomorrow?
Well, first of all, good morning, and thank you for having me. And as far as the anticipation is concerned, look, the Knicks have played some playoff games recently in the past 5 years, this Tom Thibodeau, Leon Rose era that we didn't think we'd be playing. That season coming out of the pandemic against the Hawks, that game one had anticipation. The series against the Cavs, of course, last year against the Sixers and the Pacers. Even game seven last year, of course, there was anticipation. But the Knicks had the higher seed in all of those situations. To find yourself not just up in this series, but with a chance and a path to the conference finals now in front of you, it's got to be their most anticipated home game since they last made the conference finals in the year 2000. I'd even say to go back to the year 99. And I think just to speak to how little a lot of people in New York and a lot of people in the NBA world thought the Knicks would be here has created that anticipation. So it should be a wild scene at the Garden on Saturday.
Remarkable two games to come back from 20-point deficits. A lot was made of this series, Andrew, going in of like, yo, Celtics, bad matchup. This is what they did to them in the regular season. Not a series. And then the Knicks leave Boston with two-game lead. I'm curious, though, from your vantage point, what surprised you about both games that Boston was or was not doing?
Well, this is going to sound reductive, but in a lot of our preview for this series and how the Knicks could potentially win it, and some of that was tongue-in-cheek, a lot of the conversation was, well, hope they miss. And I hate to just simplify it down to that, and the Knicks have done a lot of good things to, you know, help the Celtics rely solely on their three-point shooting and hoping for some variance. But this isn't just bad shooting from the Boston Celtics. It's historically bad shooting. And a lot of whenever they try to do something different, they're not shooting well from three. That's the poster child right now, right? They're also not shooting well in the mid-range. They're also not shooting well outside of the restricted area. You know, they're everywhere else that the Knicks are forcing them to take shots from, they're not hitting. So they're leaning on what's been their calling card the last 2 years. And look, last year they were the first team in NBA history to win the title taking more threes than two-pointers. This year they leaned even heavier into that formula, and here in the first two games of the series, it's backfired on them. Now, I don't know what the adjustment is from a Boston standpoint to go away from a thing that's working and hope it's not historically bad, but they've also, from a Celtics standpoint, benefited from the Knicks haven't played all that well either, and they're up 2-0. I mean, the Knicks have been down 20 in both of these games. Right. What happens if they're up? Like, they should potentially try playing with the lead. It might suit them, and you might see a Celtic team not be able to handle adversity that way either.
That's a great point. Andrew Claudio is our guest. Andrew J. Claudio _ on Twitter, Knicks Film School podcast, talking a little Knicks and Celtics. Pivotal game three tomorrow at Madison Square Garden. Where's the fear about this team running out of gas? I know that's been kind of the thing from the outside looking in. on Tibbs, where it's just not a very deep rotation. Not a lot of bodies are playing. Just the fear of like, man, are we going to run these guys into the ground? Where is that on Knicks fans' minds?
So I got to be totally honest with you. I think it's completely opposite. Look across the aisle at the Boston Celtics injury report. Jason Tatum dealing with a wrist injury. Jaylen Brown dealing with a knee injury. The Porzingis and this illness that's been bugging him for a month and a half. Sam Hauser's already missed a game in this series. The Celtics are down to 5-6 bodies. Like Al Horford, I have great respect for him, but he's up there in age and has looked it, having to guard Jalen Brunson in the open court at times. The Knicks don't have a single person on the injury report. They've gotten healthier as the season has gone along. And if you ask anybody in the organization, this was part of the plan. Yes, you'll tax some of your wings a little bit more on the minutes throughout the season. Mikal Bridges is made of rubber, hasn't missed a game since 10th grade, so you're not worried about him. Josh Hart is the human embodiment, the basketball embodiment of the Energizer Bunny. The one player I had worry about going into this season and into this Thibodeau style of play was OG Anunoby, and he just played the most games in a season that he's played in years. So I got to be honest, that the Knicks have spoken, like a lot of their players have said, hey, we're used to playing these heavy playoff minute loads. We were doing this in December against the Wizards. We were doing this throughout many parts of the season that a lot of people were calling it crazy. Now they're a bit battle tested. Now, I don't know if you can hear, I'm knocking on all the wood I can find to make sure that nothing happens the rest of the series. But as far as them running into the ground, they're the healthy team in these playoffs at the moment.
Knicks fans are absolute psychotics. The videos of them just saying all kinds of outlandish things after going up 2-0 is all over the internet. I also am familiar a little bit with the East Coast sports fan, and I'm just curious how terrified and how much anxiety is running through their veins, because if they get blown out in a game 3 on Saturday in prime time, I think the rest of the country is going to go, oh, that was a fun story. Celtics got it figured out. You sound very happy, and I'm saying this as a compliment to you. Usually our New York guests sound a little more reserved, a little more angry. Where are you at? Where are the nerves of Knicks fans at right now? Because this game 3 is going to be for Boston's life. And I just wonder, are the Knicks going to be able to match whatever that energy and effort is that Boston will clearly bring on Saturday?
So there's two sides of this. First of all, I obviously don't speak for all New Yorkers, but I do speak for a specific sect of New York sports fans. And look, I understand there are two New York basketball teams. God bless the Brooklyn Nets. It's like 95-5 when it comes to New York and the percentage of this city that is Knicks fans compared to Nets fans. But I'm a Jets fan. I'm a Mets fan. I come from a perspective that's just happy to be there when success happens. I understand what the Mets have become now, but this is a team that hasn't won a lot throughout my time watching them, and I don't have to say much more about the Jets. So there is a humility and an appreciation for being up 2-0, knowing that the other shoe could drop if, to your point, the Celtics decide to start hitting all their threes like they did during the regular season. There is another side of a Knicks fan, the other half of the fan base that is also a Yankee fan, also a Giant fan, expects excellence, expects success. Great things happen to us because we chose to root for a team that won all these championships during the 40s or whatever. And like all of that speaks to or creates this melting pot of a fan base that gives you all the emotions, and all of it comes out in both the funniest and reckless ways at times. Look, I picked the Celtics in 5 going into this series. They now can do exactly what I said they'd do before the series and win 4 of the next 5 games, and it wouldn't fully surprise me. I do not put it past this Knicks team, though, to match the energy. That's not something I'm afraid of. Talent might win out. Math might win out. Energy, the Knicks will come correct, and that's something I absolutely know they'll be able to match for at least the next 4 games, however long this series goes.
Yeah, but you didn't need to pretend that there's really Nets fans. We know there's not. They don't exist. These are imaginary people. Jersey moving into Brooklyn.
I haven't met one. I will say that. I haven't met one yet.
Neither have we. Last one for you. We're into gambling on this show. How do we feel about the 5.5-point line tomorrow? Oh, good. Who's the favorite?
Boston's favorite in MSG tomorrow.
That's just it. Boston's the favorite. Yes. I mean, speaking of being into gambling, I took the Knicks 9.5 plus 9.5 game one plus 10.5 game two.
Yeah.
The Knicks play these close games, and look, they've played a bunch of one-score games, I believe 7 consecutive one-score games, going back to the Detroit series, 6 consecutive one-score games, because from game 3 on. And I don't see how you can go against that trend of the Knicks playing another one-score game. So take the points, at least. I'm wondering if, as much as their exploits on the road have been talked about a lot, the Knicks have won 5 straight road games here in these playoffs. They've also lost their last 2 home games, so I'm not saying that Madison Square Garden isn't going to be an advantage on Saturday, but I don't have the chutzpah to take money line just yet, but give me the Knicks and the points, that's for sure.
My only criticism, Andrew, I needed a little more New York, like, we're going to win this game, there's no doubt in my mind.
You know what, Dirk Sprague, don't even bother with the points,
yes,
okay? Give
yes.
me the money line. In fact, go to an adjusted line and give me Knicks minus 10.
Ooh.
Get Boston out of here, they're a city that doesn't matter. Tom Brady is long gone,
yes.
The ghost of Larry Bird, we got this.
That's great. I mean, that was perfect. That was literally perfect. Andrew Claudio, give him a follow on Twitter at Andrew J. Claudio _. He's the host of the Knicks Film School podcast. Man, we're jealous of what you guys get to experience tomorrow. Playoff basketball seems like a bygone era here in Portland, and so we're probably a few more years away from it. Enjoy the atmosphere, the scene, everything that's going down. Thanks as always, man. Hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, fellas. Go Knicks.